closer.
You didn't think back in the 70s that your toys would be worth money. You just
no, you're right. Yeah, we used to use firecrackers on the G.I. Joes too. So some of them did meet their demise that way.
I put an M80 on the back of the Millennium Falcon. That was
No.
Tore it to pieces. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our special Dragon Con 2021 episode of Radio Labyrinth. My name is Tim Andrews. Our co-hosts this week are Jeff Lieboff and Dustin Lawler, producer extraordinaire of our YouTube page and everything else. And we are joined this week by Dan Carroll, who we've had on the show before. He is Dragon Con's director of media engagement and also someone we haven't spoken to before. And it's a pleasure to meet Jamie Reeves, who is the webmaster and comic track leader. Now, before we move on, I need to know what the comic track leader does and what that entails. I know what the webmaster does, but I don't know what the comic track leader does.
Basically, I'm over, I have a programming director and a director over the track itself, like at the show.
Okay.
So basically I'm there to lend support to both of them. And also when the show is not going on, I am looking for guests. That's pretty much my main deal.
Awesome. Dan, why don't you give us an idea for people who haven't watched you on our show or listened to you on our show before what you do for Dragon Con?
Well, DragonCon is made up of a lot of volunteers and a lot of directors, and they do stuff. They work all year round. And I talk about all the cool stuff they do to get people excited about DragonCon. And I answer questions that are this year a little bit harder than usual. And I get to hang out with you guys. So hello, radios.
We love them when we get to hang out. In fact, you're one of the few people I actually went out to lunch with a couple times during the 2020 portion of the pandemic that we find ourselves still in, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, we've known each other a long time. Dragon Con was completely virtual last year in 2020. 2021, it's coming back. And there are some protocols that we have to talk about, some things that need to be, made clear to everybody who is going to Dragon Con, and we'll get to all that, but I want to talk about now before we started recording, we'd never met Jamie before, and looking at his background, he's got some awesome toys, so I wanted to bring it up while we're recording that he has the original big Godzilla. It's what, a foot and a half tall?
Yeah, he's right back there.
Yeah. Now you can't see it if you're listening, so that's why I encourage you guys to sign up for our YouTube page. It was youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast, if I am not incorrect. Dustin, is that correct? Yes.
That is very correct.
I have a leaky brain, but it's the cool Godzilla toy that the wrist went in, there was a spring, and you pushed a button and the wrist shot out, and it actually would hurt somebody if they weren't paying attention. And then it had the little slider on the back of the head that it broke off of everybody's, because
almost immediately. Yeah.
You open it up for Christmas or whenever you got it. I got mine for Christmas. You open it up and the thing broke. And then you had to tug the tongue out or tear up your finger trying to get that little nub. But still, it was a cool toy. So and that's some of the stuff you'll find at Dragon Con. There's usually a marketplace. I'm hoping there is one this year. But people buy and sell and trade. And there's toys and hard to find VHS tapes and stickers and clothing and all sorts of things. Anything you could possibly think of. But so let's talk about what's going to happen this year. How are you able to put it all together in the midst of what's going on all over the world and in our country? And how are people going to be able to stay safe when they're at the convention?
That's a mouthful of questions, and I'll try to get through them quickly. But I want to make sure I get through them clearly so people walk away and they know the right thing.
Yeah.
So I'll throw out the thing that's probably most prominent is there will be required vaccinations. We are requiring masks during the whole time, anytime you're indoors. If you're outdoors, you do not need to wear a mask, but when you're indoors, please wear a mask. And one of the things that we're trying to figure out exactly is what constitutes a mask. And we're telling folks right now, wear a cloth mask. Even if you have a plastic mask, wear a cloth mask underneath it. That's going to be really important. Our social distancing this year is 3 feet. With everything that we have going on and with the realities of Dragon Con, we find that that should be a sufficient distance. And I don't know about you, but when I go to, even when I was keeping the 6 feet, it was hard to keep that 6 feet distance in public just by accident. And we are going to be enforcing the mask mandate. This is not a suggestion. This is a rule that you agree to by picking up your badge. So please expect enforcement. We've got great deal of cooperation from the hotels on this. We've got police within the facility, and oh my God, I'm making it sound so much less fun than it is. But just take it seriously and also have fun. Before we go on to the other parts, we are trying to make Dragon Con fun. We have got an impressive guest list. We've got amazing panels that are going to be happening as we have every year. And not everything is going to be exactly the way it was before, but we'll have our parties and we'll have our late night costume contest. Well, not the late night costume contest, but the costume contest that we always have, the masquerade, the Friday night, and we'll have all that. But in addition to the masks, we're going to be limiting the rooms to 2/3 capacity. So if before we fit 1,000 people in the room, we're looking at putting 650 in the room. If we could fit 2,000, we're looking for double 650. And this is when I remember I'm not an accountant or a mathematician, and I've already lost the math for it, 650 times two. But it's a way to build space, and we're going to include spacing in the lines. We're going to make sure the lines are socially distanced. And the way we're going to accomplish all this is we are, for the first time ever, now we've sold out of badges, but we have never had an actual cap on attendance. And this year we have. What we're looking at is just like in the Walk of Fame with 50% attendance, where we've looked at the sporting events around town. We looked at some other things happen around town, and we're going to be around 50% and not specifically exactly 50% of 2019, but and we anticipate that we're going to be sold out of all badges, both individual day badges and 4-day badges. We're going to be sold out of those before the show opens. So I would not anticipate people being able to get badges on site. You check www.dragoncon.org to see if one is available, if you want to come down and join us. And on that note, we're still on the differences, guys. On that note, Saturday, we will not be selling 1-day passes. And the reason is primarily, we want to do our share to make sure we do as much social distancing and responsible attending as possible. And Saturday has historically gotten a little full. So also on Saturday morning, oh my gosh, there's a lot, Tim and Dustin and Jeff. I haven't forgotten you. And Jamie's heard this all before.
A pipe in whenever, Jamie.
Yeah. What'd you say?
The pipe in whenever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm good.
So here's what's going on with the parade. In order to attend the parade, you will need to be a DragonCon attendee. We are asking anyone who is not a DragonCon attendee to avoid the parade route, which is Peachtree Street from Linden down to the Hard Rock and then comes around to the Marriott. And in past years, after the parade, we have sold badges right there on the street. 1-day passes for people who love the parade so much they want to come to DragonCon. Unfortunately, this year, just to make sure it's safe for everyone, we are not providing those 1-day badges for sale. So please don't come to the parade. Don't think about coming to parade. But there's two alternate really good ways to watch the parade. One is on CW69, which is broadcasting live from the front of the parade, and also a few minutes of delay if you go to DragonCon TV, they will be broadcasting DrenCon TV on YouTube. They will be broadcasting the parade with a different group of commenters. And that's going to be located right at the corner of Baker and Peachtree.
Cool.
So
is that free to watch, or do you have to purchase the digital membership to watch the parade?
That is free to watch, but we'll talk about the digital membership in a little bit.
Okay.
But the parade itself is broadcast over YouTube with no charge.
Well, I have a question about the Walk of Fame. Now, we're going to talk about some of the people who are at DragonCon this year. It's a really good lineup. And I want to talk to Jamie about that as well, about how you get them on board and how they're feeling about everything coming to Atlanta and being around a bunch of people. But sure. For the Walk of Fame, if capacity is less than it's been and there's a limit on the number of members, memberships, or for the weekend or for day passes or whatever, it shouldn't be that difficult to get into the Walk of Fame, if you know what I mean, because it's not the same large number that you're funneling in. So I don't think people should worry about that. I think you should be patient and you'll eventually get to where you're going. So that's what I wanted to throw in there. And Dustin, Jeff, if you guys got questions and stuff.
They're doing like a one way in, one way out kind of thing in the Walk of Fame too, right? Where all the traffic's going to be moving the same direction. So it's not like chaotic in there.
Yes. Let me go ahead up the Walk of Fame structure. Like I said, we're going to have 50% less guests in the Walk of Fame. And the Walk of Fame, for those people who are listening who never heard that term before, it's where our celebrities who are actors sign autographs. And you go up, pay for your autograph, pay for your picture with a lot of them. And it's just a fun time. But we will have one way in and one way out, which we have always had. And one of the questions came up early was temperature checks. And we have not made a final decision, but we reserve the right to provide temperature checks before you go into the Walk of Fame. One thing for our reporters coming to DragonCon this year, we're not going to be doing interviews with celebrities the way we have in the past, primarily to really build up that time between the fans and the guests, and also to give the guests a little bit more breathing room. Ironically enough, in a year of masks, we're worried about breathing room. But the other thing is the lines will be socially spaced. We're going to have more room in the Walk of Fame to be able to do that. I heard something I love, which is please be patient. And that is, the one thing I'll tell you is this DragonCon is going to be amazing. It's going to be fun, but it is different. It is very different. And we got to deal with some of the realities of what the world is like.
Absolutely. Now, Jamie, you are coordinating bringing the guests to town or finding the guests for DragonCon?
Just for comics.
Yeah. Just for comics. So artists and writers and
yes.
Stuff like that. Well, the same thing would apply then. Was it harder to find people this year, or were people eager to get back regardless of where we are in the pandemic?
Well, it's kind of a mix. You have some people that are very cautious understandably and want to hold off another year. But then you have some people that are just really chomping at the bit to get back to it. So it really was kind of a mix. I ended up with a wait list of people wanting to get in. So overall, I think the majority of people want to come back, want to be in the con circuit.
Who are some of the highlights from the comic book world who are going to be there?
Oh, I'm really excited about Chris Claremont. He's a huge one. I loved him as a kid, reading X-Men. Mm-hmm. I would say my top three would be him, John Romita Jr., who also did X-Men and Spider-Man and tons of other stuff. But and then Tenny Howard, who she's been a DragonCon forever, but then she actually won, I think it was Top Cow. She won like a talent contest, and that's how she became a comic writer. But then she's grown. Now she's writing X-Men with like Jonathan Hickman on the relaunch. So, I mean, her career is just blown up. We have Sam Maggs, who's like more of a children's type, or young adult and preteen probably. She's writing Marvel Girl or Captain Marvel. We have Bill Reinhold, Linda Lessman Reinhold. They're inkers have been for DC and Marvel for years. They're just legends. Let's see who else. I would say Stephen Green, he's an up-and-coming artist. He's on a book with Jason Aaron called Sea of Stars. His artwork is beautiful. There's just a ton of great people, both new and old, that are coming, and a lot of locals that are coming that are great. And we have, besides just comic art, you know, we also have a huge pop art scene too. So like Derek Yaniger and H.C. Warner and those guys, they're local Atlanta, but their art is just beautiful.
Sweet.
So, yeah. And I would like to say too, like we can't be one way, like, or one way in and one way out, like the Walk of Fame, just because of the way our room is set up. We have tables and booths. So typically we have like 200 plus people, 200 plus guests and attending artists. This year we're going to be more around the 140, 150 range. But we have like our tables are kind of set up in the middle, and then our booths are on the perimeter of the room. So to go one way is basically impossible. So what we've done instead is space out the tables, space out the booths a little bit more, and reduce our numbers. But we are making it the safest environment we possibly can. You're
reducing the numbers of guests in the room, or
yes,
members allowed in the room at one time?
We haven't made a decision on that yet, but we definitely have reduced the number of guests and attending in the room.
Now let's talk about some of the people who are going to be in the Walk of Fame, the actors and the voiceover artists and a lot of people like that. Now, two of them we just interviewed the other day, Jeff and I, and I think that episode, by the time this comes out, has already been released, if I'm correct. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
We spoke with, and it was a great thrill for us because we're such dorks, Wesley Uhr and Kathy Coleman, who are from Land of the Lost. They were Will and Holly, and they are going to be joined by Philip Paley, who played Chaka. So all three of them are going to be at Dragon Con. We just spoke to them. They were out at a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, and they took time from the hotel room. If you haven't seen it yet, it's right here on the YouTube page, or it's in the RSS feed for the podcast. And what a great time. And they're excited about coming. So I hope to be able to meet them in person. Jeff's met them before, but those are a couple of the guests. You got the whole lineup. If you like Battlestar Galactica, I don't know what is it called? There's the original series, but what do they call the 2000?
Normally I hear people talk about the original series as Battlestar Galactica 78, I think is the number. And then they refer to the current one as BSG.
BSG. Okay.
So yeah, calls the old one BSG.
No. But this lineup, I mean, it's got tons and tons of people. You got Jamie Bamber, who is Apollo, James Callis, who is Baltar, Trisha Helfer. Yeah. She was the number six, the sexy Cylon, although all of them females are sexy, and some of the males. Mary McDonnell, who, you know, she was President Laura Roslin. She's also Stands with a Fist in, oh God, why am I? Oh, come on.
Dances with Wolves.
Thank you. And she was in Independence Day. She was the first lady. You have Edward James Olmos, who was Commander Adama, Rika Sharma, who played Tori Foster, and Michael Trucco, who was Sam Anders. So good deal of the Cylons were there for this episode. And
incredible win for us to have them all coming. And that actually bumps up our Oscar winners this year by two just from that list, with Mary McDonnell and Edward James Olmos having won Oscars.
Oscars? I didn't know that he won an Oscar. That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, Jaime Escalante, Stand
and Deliver.
Stand and Deliver.
Fantastic. Yeah. I was about to say Stand By Me, but that's a bunch of kids in the woods with a dead body. So.
And leeches on their body parts.
Yes.
We also have a contingent of people from Doctor Who. And this is awesome. You have Christopher Eccleston, who was the first of the newer doctors when it came back from hiatus. You have Alex Kingston, who is River Song, and Billy Piper, who is Rose Tyler. That's exciting. And then I'm going to do the Star Trek, and then there's others I want to mention, but I have some questions. You have from Star Trek, you just have this year. There's three. You have Garrett Wang, and you have, of course, and he was Harry Kim on Voyager. And then, of course, William Shatner, everybody knows. And then one other person. Why can't I remember this person's name from Star Trek? He's on the Discovery. Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp. Thank you.
Okay.
The Battlestar Galactica, will they be in their own room or will they be in the Walk of Fame?
As far as I know, they're going to be in the Walk of Fame. They have been in the Walk of Fame before.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a separate area for them in the past, but There's a lot of logistics I don't have specifics on. It's even with the pandemic, we're still having over 3,000 hours of programming,
yes.
50 guests and 5 hotels. And I'm not going to remember everything. At least this time I remember there is a pandemic this year. So I got that down.
Yep. Last time I was in the Walk of Fame, I got this and I got to meet. George Takei and get his autograph. And it was very nice to meet him. I interviewed him about his show. And he says, to Tim, galactic greetings.
George Takei.
But man, you nailed that. You should do that at Voices on the Radio.
I should. I'm going to apply. I'm going to go apply to PBS, maybe. Or no, not PBS, GPB. There's a lot more guests. We'll talk about more of those. Let's, Jeff, we want to talk about panels. Dustin.
I don't know if any panel information has been released at this point, but I know the Land of Lost cast said that they felt like they were going to be doing at least one or two panels, but they couldn't say anything for sure. And I'm sure there's probably with the contingency of people that are coming, there's got to be some kind of Doctor Who panel happening.
Here's the general rule. We like to use our guests once a day in a big panel. That kind of rolls out. But we also have a running gag on the internet that when anybody asks in July or early August when the schedule is coming out, the people on the internet take a drink.
Right.
About 10 days before the event, we will have the app updated. One thing about the schedule that is new is that we will no longer have the Dragon Con pocket guide that we have had for decades, or at least from when I showed up. Instead, we're replacing it with a much more readable, streamlined quick start guide that will have all the scheduling information and then a lot less to make it easier to navigate. And of course, everything will be on the app. Go to your app store, whether you're Apple or whether you're Android, and download the DragonCon app, and it will automatically refresh when the app is ready to be updated, and then it will keep refreshing throughout the convention.
And since we're talking about phones and stuff, let's briefly mention the streaming membership for this year.
Yes, that's a really good thing to mention. For about 3 years now, 4 years, we have been doing a virtual membership that's either been an add-on or it's been a buy it for itself application. And you would go online and be able to watch the panels live, but also watch them up until March of the next year. So you'd have them for about 6 months. And it was really successful, but it was not quite expansive. And then 2020 came, and through the works of an incredible group of people at DC TV and at DC leadership and our directors getting out there, creating content, making sure it was out there, coordinating it, we were able to have a show last year that was seen. There were 600,000 individual views of our panels. I myself enjoyed a number of them, including a Battlestar Galactica panel with a lot of the cast we're seeing this year too, but it was old. And I watched some of the events that was happening. I watched some workshops. It was a lot of fun, and we did that for free. Well, this year we're upgrading, and we are providing that online experience for a mere $10. Go to www.drankcon.org and you can look at the details about that online membership. And it's for people who aren't able to make it, people who are able to make it, but they want to watch from a different location afterwards. I myself, in 2019, as you know, I moderated a panel, which I very seldom ever do. And I got to watch that and show it to my family. And they said, nice, Dad. Thanks. I gotta go. That is what, but that is just because it was their dad. Other people found it interesting. So you get to see those panels, as I said, up until about March of next year. And for $10, you can't go wrong. And even if you have attended DragonCon in 2021, or you will have attended DragonCon 2021, you've got a chance to enjoy it on TV.
And it's just a $10 add-on. So if you like, if you can't make it to, you know, if your panels overlap or there's two panels going on at the same time, you can attend one and then watch one later.
Or even if you ask a question and you can't hear your answer, or, you know, thought you missed something in your own panel, rewatch it.
Right.
Sure.
So guys, if you don't have the app, will be ready when it's ready. And before you go there, you can find out pretty much an answer to any question you might have. Most of your questions will be asked, see all the guests, find out all the things to do. Just go to DragonCon.org. And when you're there, you can sign up for all the social media and you can find out all about DragonCon.tv, where you can watch all the cool stuff. And, you know, if you can't make it, there's your chance. And there's all sorts of, I imagine all sorts of things archived from the past, so you can get a feel for it. Now, this is for people who haven't been there. Go ahead.
Well, let me be specific. There will be one track, online track, not an in-person track, that will be only content created simply for online by our track directors over the summer. They created it ahead of time, and it's stored in there, ready to go. Second will be only classic DragonCon panels, past parades, past masquerades. You'll be able to enjoy the masquerades from the past, all that from the past on a second channel. And the third channel is going to be live what's happening now. It's going to be the main panels and the important panels from around the convention. And DragonCon TV does create some shows. They have something called the late show that airs at 9 in the morning. And then they have their special interviews. While we're not offering interviews to reporters, we are offering interviews to the DC TV. So they'll have exclusive interviews that you can't see anywhere else. But I want to get off the subject of DragonCon 2021 to tell my favorite story about Jamie. Because he's
okay. Here. Oh no.
So, and Jamie knows the story. It's not a bad story. Yeah, it's one I could tell his wife, and his wife would go, "Oh, that's sweet." So, does that sound like your wife? I mean,
it does. Yes,
it does. So, one day I am in Chicago at C2E2. I'm just enjoying experiencing this convention out of town for the first time. And I am just randomly taking photographs with my phone. I take a photograph. I'm going to hold my hands up, move 15 degrees, take another photograph just to get a panoramic view. And I look at my phone and there's Jamie. I had no idea he was there. And he was with some other mutual friends and other folks doing work for DragonCon, doing that investigation that he talked about, talking to the folks who were artists there. And it just was absolutely the best serendipity moment I had that weekend. So thank you, Jamie, for standing in front of me.
I'm kind of sorry I was the highlight of your weekend, though, Dan.
Well, actually, my back went out at the airport when I landed in Chicago. So that was indeed the highlight of my weekend.
Fair enough.
Jamie, anything you're excited for as far as guests wise?
Well, besides being back in person, which is number one, we're all excited about that. But Chris Claremont, like I said before, I'm really excited about him. I read all of his stuff. I'm actually rereading it now just so I can refamiliarize myself with it.
Is he big in the 80s in the X-Men?
Yeah, he wrote, I think it was 17 consecutive years he wrote the X-Men. And wow. Then he took a break and then came back to it at some point as well. But he went through so many great artists like John Byrne, who John Romita Jr. was with them, Jim Lee. I mean, it was just Mark Silvestri. It was just a huge roster of artists with him.
I try to think back to then when X Factor splintered off from X-Men, and it's been so long, and you know, I don't even have those comic books anymore. I wish I still did, but just I can't remember that era. That must have been the mid or late 80s.
He was uncanny. He did uncanny through 75 to 91.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was a huge run of like all of my childhood with the X-Men was pretty much exclusively through him.
Because right in there, what you're talking about with the X Factor, that's kind of where they started making all those X books. And he wrote New Mutants, was in there with Bill Sienkiewicz, which that was a great series too. But yeah, he wrote just a ton of those great stories. And most of the X-Men movies, I mean, that you see, those are his stories.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dark Phoenix saga. He did the whole Dark Phoenix run.
Days of the Future Past. That was him. Yeah. I mean, you know, he was just an amazing writer. He is an amazing writer. So yeah, I'm excited about him and John Romita Jr., he's coming back to Marvel now. I'm not sure if they've announced what he's going to be doing, but I'm hoping he's going to reprise the Spider-Man artist role. So I don't know, but that's my wish.
I think friend of the show, Brian Silverback, is going to be at in the comics.
Oh yeah. I love Brian. Brian's great.
Yeah, he's a really fantastic artist. I love his stuff. I love that he's growing and you know, I just love looking at his stuff online.
Me too. And he was Loggerhead that he did.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah, he's a super nice guy too.
It's one kick-ass turtle. Yeah, he is a real nice guy. We've had him a couple times on the show. You couldn't ask for just a nicer guest and somebody who really enjoys what they're doing and sharing it with people.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Not afraid to just put yourself out there. And you know, I recommend that. I stopped drawing 20 some years ago, you know, aside from just doing doodles on napkins and things. And now I try to draw one thing every day. And you, the more you do it, yeah, the better you get. And geez, it's like anything else. You don't just wake up one day and are a fantastic artist. You can wake up and be a shitty one, but you got to do it every single day. And sure. That I'm bringing it up that way in that he's one of the people that inspired me to start drawing again.
So. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's funny that you say that too about being inspired to draw. Cause one thing we're really doing this year is we have, I can't tell you how many, but it's several seminars and workshops for both kids and adults to help, kids obviously just starting out and how to draw like superheroes is a Harry Potter workshop, that kind of thing. But also for like an adult or a teenager that's trying to get into the industry or that is, you know, starting barely in the industry and is starting to hone their work. We have for writers and for artists, how to break into the industry, how to make your work stand out in the industry, that kind of thing. And I'm really excited to have that this year. There's at least five workshops and seminars that have to do with that.
That sounds like fun. I may wander over there this year because usually I get addicted to the Walk of Fame and sitting. So this year I'm going to meander over there because I want to see stuff.
Yeah, we're on the fourth floor of the America Smart Building 2. Definitely come see us.
And speaking of Harry Potter, there's some guests from Harry Potter this year. If you're a fan of the extremely handsome Matthew Lewis, who you wouldn't have expected to grow up to be super handsome, he was Neville Longbottom for those of you, those millennials and late stage Gen Xers who are addicted to Harry Potter like I was. And we also have Bonnie Wright, who is Ginny Weasley. But I'm not insulting Matthew. He just kind of looked like a dorky little kid. And he's like super, you know, hey, look at me.
No, my 18-year-old the other day comes in. She's like, Daddy, Neville is hot.
Yeah, like, I don't need to hear that. And you have animated voice actors. You have Dino Andrade. Is that how you say his name? From the new Looney Tunes, World of Warcraft, Arkham Asylum. Anjali Bimani from Overwatch. Jess Harnell, who is Waka Warner from Animaniacs. Mm-hmm. Got all the Animaniacs this year. Maurice LaMarche, from Pinky and the Brain. Tress McNeil, who is Dot Warner from Animaniacs, Rob Paulson, Pinky and the Brain, and Yakko Warner from Animaniacs. That's just to name a few. We have a lot more.
I'm going to throw this out, Tim. All these people, you know, you mentioned the core things that they do, but they have extensive
huge careers. Oh, I know. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So many of them have worked in Futurama and The Simpsons and so much more. I mean, absolutely. It's not my cup of tea. We've discussed I wasn't an 80s kid, but you know, Rob Paulson was a Ninja Turtle too. So
yeah.
Maurice Lamarche should be on Shatner's panel if Shatner does a panel, because back when Maurice Lamarche was a comedian, he did impressions of Shatner.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know how much of a sense of humor William Shatner has about this
stuff. He's lightened up quite a bit the last few years.
I did enjoy him on The Critic, too. Now I was an adult watching The Critic. Right. I'm teaching myself. But I loved his take on Orson Welles doing the Peak commercial.
He does the best Orson Welles. And for a while, my boss on the radio show wanted me to start doing Orson Welles as the voice in his head, which, you know, it's 2021. Most people don't know who Orson Welles is unless they're over 40. But it's fine. I do Paul Stanley, so it's fine. But I couldn't do it, so I just started listening to Pinky and the Brain clips and stuff. But, you know, sometimes the best way to do an impression of somebody is to do someone else's impression. You know, like everybody did the John Biner. This is also dating. But everybody did the John Biner, Ed Sullivan, if you know who Ed Sullivan is. Yes. Maybe so everybody does to make it more relevant, everybody does the Dana Carvey, Johnny Carson.
There you go. That is still not relevant, Tim.
Okay. Everybody does the Frank Caliendo, George W. Bush, except me. I
think. There you go.
Have they announced some of the cast of The Boys is going to come to DragonCon?
Absolutely.
Hey, my wife will be back at work the weekend of DragonCon, so maybe she'll be able to interview some people. Who knows?
Oh, fantastic.
Mother's Milk is going to be there.
Queen Maeve is going to be there.
Yeah, Queen Maeve and Frenchie. And what's his name? A-Train?
A-Train, thank you. Yeah. I kept wanting to call him their version of The Flash.
Right.
A-Train is awesome. That's such a great show. I love that we got a couple of really good anti-hero shows like that. And what was the big animated show that was on?
Invincible.
Invincible.
Yeah. What a great show that was. And now I want to read the comic book. Here's some of the other actors that are going to be in town at Dragon Con September 2nd through 6th. See, I have that radio thing constantly reset. Asher Angel from Jolene, Andy Mack and Shazam, Felicia Day from The Guild and Mystery Science Theater 3000. Erin Gray will be back. She, you know, is, we'll talk about what she does more in a second, but notably for Gen Xers, especially Buck Rogers in the 25th Century and Silver Spoons, you know, they bookend each other in our careers, even though they're next to each other. But she, tell us about Erin real briefly, how she works with a lot of the talent that goes to that comes to Dragon Con.
So Erin goes to a convention years and years ago, and she had not even heard of conventions when she went, and she came back and she actually found it profitable. And then she tells a much better version of this. Anyway, she was talking to her friends, Mark Singer and Gil Gerard. And she told them about that, and they're like, can you help us? And she said, yeah, I'll help you, but I'm taking 10%. And 10% may not be the actual number, but I'm taking a percentage. And she basically created the idea of separate convention representation and built a large organization called Heroes for Hire. And while not everybody and not even close to everybody that comes to Dragon Con as a celebrity comes from Heroes for Hire, a large number do. And she tells a funny story about Stan Lee coming up to her at a convention and pointing out that Heroes for Hire was actually a comic book he did in the 70s, which ended up becoming where the Luke Cage character came from. And they had a laugh about it. And but she does an incredible job in terms of representing the celebrities, making sure that the best celebrities are available to us, not just Dragon Con, but to the whole industry. And she has done quite well for herself. And she's, if you've never heard it, she's got an incredible personal story to go with how what acting was and was not for her, and how she recovered and was able to create this career and this organization and just revolutionize things just at the time when conventions were booming.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that she's out there doing that. And I hope we can, she keeps coming back. I always like to say hi to her. I've interviewed her a long time ago and I always try to remember. I reached out to her, but I know she's busy. Thank you, Dan. And I want to read some of these other ones. I'll bust through them real quick. You have Harvey Guillen, who's on The Magicians and What We Do in the Shadows. He's very funny. That show is hilarious. And he seems like a nice person. You have Zachary Levi. I don't know. Anyway, he's on Shazam. Chuck. Levi. Yeah, Levi. Tangled. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Who do you play in that, Jeff?
He was that doctor that she was sort of dating for a little while.
Ross Marquand. I'm terrible with names, from The Walking Dead. Eddie McClintock from Warehouse 13, Bones, Better Off Ted, The King of Queens, and also in a commercial that I helped produce before he was famous for the Loop in Chicago. Mark Pellegrino from The Big Lebowski, Supernatural, Dexter, Lost, Being Human, Quantico. If you don't know who he is in The Big Lebowski, he's the guy that busts in with Boo and drops the bowling ball. What the fuck is this thing? Obviously, you're not a golfer. He's also Dexter's wife's first husband. And I don't want to spoil it if you've never seen Dexter. David Ramsey, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, The Flash, also on Dexter. He was the guitar player that was dating Deborah. Very, very good character actor there. Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor with the Luthor on Smallville. Samantha Smith from Supernatural, Jerry Maguire, Criminal Minds, Laura Vandervoot and Tom Welling, both of them on Smallville, Supergirl, Clark Kent. Ricky Whittle, who was Lincoln on the 100 and the central character of Shadow Moon in American Gods, and lots more. So keep the app handy, but keep checking the website before the app is updated, dragoncon.org.
And the official on Facebook has all the announcements as they come.
We're doing the kids sketchbook program again.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's it. We were going to, it's our second year doing it. And basically, actually I have one here. In the front of the Comic Artist Alley, and we're expanding it to the art show this year, we're going to give out these to any child 12 and under. And it's basically a sketchbook, and you match, the logo on the back. If you see an artist or creator with that logo on their tent card, then you can approach them and get a free sketch and or autograph.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And the artists and creators really, really loved it back in 19. So I think it's going to be great again this year.
That's cool.
That looks awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
My thing to throw out is writers. We have a lot of writers, not just comic book writers who we all love and we know are legitimate writers. That is our craft. But we've got John Scalzi as our writer guest of honor this year. We've got Kevin J. Anderson, best-selling author of Hell Hole series and a whole lot of Star Wars books. Speaking of Star Wars, we got Tim Zahn, who is currently my favorite sci-fi writer who's publishing that is one person. And I'll let you figure out who's two people. But he's going to be there. I love his Thrawn books. We also have the boatload of other writers. Like you guys said, point to the links. I never know where to put my camera. And look at that. And that is my pitch for writers. And real fast, we got tracks that have nothing to do with entertainment and fiction. We got a science track, a podcasting track, which is now turned into digital media. It's all grown up now. We've got people making robots. We've got a space track. And for those people who don't want to believe anything, because they're scientists, and we all know scientists don't believe anything, which is a Lost Skeleton Cadaver joke. That is not an insult to scientists. And that is, we have the Skeptics track. And to go with the Skeptics track, we have the X track, which covers paranormal in addition to paranormal fiction and literature and film. So that's my spiel about the reality tracks, and they're cool.
A question about writers. Will Harry Turtledove ever come to Dragon Con?
Isn't he dead?
I guess he won't be coming to Dragon Con.
I think he's dead.
I did not know that he had passed away. I thought he was still alive.
Man, I may be wrong on that, but I don't know. I want Andy Weir to come. Dan, are you a fan of The Martian and the Project Hail Mary?
I've never read them. They are on my list. My son adored both of them. So
I did too. Yeah, I read Project Hail Mary twice back to back.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best sci-fi books written in the last 10 years. Easy.
Harry Turtledove ain't dead either. He's 72 years old.
Oh, okay.
He's scared. I love Harry Turtledove. I love alternative. I love that weird fantasy alternative history stuff. That stuff's always intriguing. Oh,
one thing I did see today, the gaming, maybe we want to mention.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The gaming area, they're trying to make sure it's just players coming into the game.
It's just players. The hours are going to be different. We have always been blessed with not a pandemic. So we've been able to have gaming 24 hours a day. And many of the folks on our who come to DragonCon, in fact, my assistant director for media engagement, Mary Simpkins, Mary and her friends frequently just go to the gaming area to hang out. Well, there's no more just going to the gaming area to hang out. And the gaming area will be closed overnight for deep cleaning. And it's just a question of how do we manage people in an enclosed space with the best security we can give them while they're still having fun. So after we close down in the evening, we do have a 24-hour gaming spot that's going to be in the Westin. And that's going to take over as a place for gaming. And I can't remember for the life of me what the name is, but it is going to be in the app, which is available from your store, whether Apple or Android. So look it up in the app and you'll find exact directions. And for those people who are gaming, there should be no problem. There will be, of course, masks used the whole time. And just remember, folks, we're doing the best we can to make it completely safe and completely fun as much as possible and find that balance.
And if you go, don't give anybody shit. It's not their fault there's a pandemic. They're just trying to keep everybody safe. So remember that. Don't get lippy. Don't get angry. Be patient and respect the people that are guests and also the people that are volunteering to be there. People aren't being paid to be there. They're volunteering because they love it. They love the convention. And we're so lucky that it's back this year. So let's all be, and I'm the most impatient jerk off in town. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's just the way I am. Everybody who knows me knows that I don't want to wait in line. Tough.
I definitely want to hit up on that volunteer thing because these are volunteers. Yeah. And they're there to help you. They're there primarily to help you with the entertainment side of it for most of them. But if you want to know more about volunteering, once again, go to www.drancon.org. There's still opportunities for volunteering this year. And look it up. It may not be the most glamorous. In my first year volunteering, I wanted to do something called guest services because that sounded fun to me. I was going to help people when they were lost. And I was going to help them find the room they wanted to go to. That's what I was aiming for. Not knowing guest services were the people who do one-on-one guest operations with the guests, with the celebrities. I thought it was just the people coming to DragonCon. And I ended up working the help desk. And I worked in the help desk at a time when our volunteer staff was half of what it was supposed to have been. So I worked long hours my first year of DragonCon, and I loved it. And if you want to talk about a great experience, Tim and Jeff, you know the story, but my first DragonCon, I came in my first day, I helped Richard Hatch get his guest badge from Battlestar Galactica and from BSG. Mm-hmm. And then I went the next morning, I found out I was going to be working alone because they were completely understaffed. And I helped David Prowse, the body of Darth Vader, find the body of, well, not the body, but I mean, the actor who played Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew. And I was hooked. It's not an experience I ever would have had otherwise. And the hook was in my mouth and it was being pulled and I was in. And I've been there ever since. But if you consider what you're hearing and you don't have a pass for this year, consider volunteering. Now, we are going to ask you to work, and we are going to ask you to have fun and be cool. DragonCon has a great, great standard. Don't be a jerk that we live by. It's actually one of our principles in writing. And we ask you, don't be a jerk, but come on down, have some fun, help some people, and you will love it.
Yeah, the volunteers are the best.
And always keep an eye open for Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, because and there may be less of them, but they're always good to observe.
The parade for me.
Always for me as well. DragonCon.org. DragonCon takes place September 2nd through September 6th in downtown Atlanta, where it's always been and will hopefully always remain. And we thank you guys for coming on the show. Dan Carroll and Jamie Reeves, you guys, thank you again. It was great to find out what's going on and to meet you, Jamie, as well. I hope I get to see you in person. I'm gonna
absolutely thank you.
And before we leave, you want to just bust out some staff picks real quick if you got anything you want to recommend?
Sure. Actually, I just got finished with a graphic novel. Have you guys seen the anime, the Sturgill Simpson anime, Sound and Fury?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I watched it. Yeah.
Well, they came out, Jason Aaron wrote they call it a prequel to the story. And it's really cool because it doesn't, you know how it's split up into different segments, there's different artists and little different shorts throughout that whole anime.
Yeah.
Well, the prequel kind of explains the main story and different little things that are going on throughout the anime. I think there's going to be a follow-up and maybe even a third one, but it's really cool. It explains the characters. Who you wouldn't necessarily know at all, but it's really, really good. Like, you know, Sound and Fury are her swords. Actually, I don't know. I don't want to spoil this for anybody.
No, don't.
Well, okay. So Sound and Fury are her swords, but it turns out Sound and Fury were both people, and they were her senseis.
Okay.
And so, do you remember in the middle of it, really, when the guy that has the poison, the purple poison guy, remember when he kills the cowboy guy? Well, that cowboy guy was Fury, and the other guy that hit the slick back hair guy, he shot that guy. That was Sound. So
I may or may not have been inebriated when I. So I'm going to give it another view, I think.
You should. I watched it twice before I watched it sober. So, yeah.
That was the last concert I saw before the pandemic really kicked in, with Sturgill Simpson up in Gwinnett County.
Oh, no way.
And he played that all. Most, I think he played the whole album, and then he played some of his older stuff. So it was amazing.
That's
cool. I was also scared because I've been.
Oh, reading. Yeah, I'm sure.
Might have had something to do with being inebriated. But I did go to Fish a couple weeks ago, or that was interesting to observe.
Did you?
Yeah, I was a little scared. It was actually, it was a week ago. I don't even remember when it was. I guess it was last Saturday.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, see, I'm brain dead. But yeah, it was cool. And I'm like, wow, I'm around a ton of people again. It's one of my favorite bands. And around 9:30, 10 o'clock, it started setting in, and I wasn't inebriated. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go home to my wife and baby. But no, it was fun. It was fun. I'm glad things are back. Even though we have to be careful, I'm glad things are back. We don't have to all sit in our houses.
Dan, you have anything you want to recommend?
I do. And it ties in with DragonCon. And that is, immediately before I got on this podcast, I listened to and watched the new trailer for the new season of Lucifer. And even though it hasn't come out yet, it comes out sometime in September. And we have two Lucifer guests coming to DragonCon, Tom Welling and Trisha Helfer. And we've had more guests in the past. I regret not being able to meet them, because much like Jamie gets to meet all the comic book people because he's there, and they come and complain to him. and he works with them directly. I'm joking about the complaining. I don't always get to meet a lot of guests, but I really regret not meeting the folks from Lucifer when they were here last time. And I will correct that this year. And stand in line. And I do stand in line and pay my money for autographs. Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
So do I. And I budget it out every year. And there's a couple of people from BSG that I need yet. And I will get them.
Well, Lucifer comes out. The new season comes out on the 10th. And my staff pick also comes out on the 10th. It's a movie called Kate with Elizabeth Winstead. She plays an assassin who has 24 hours to live after she's been poisoned to get her revenge and complete her mission. And I've always enjoyed her in all the movies that she's been in the last 10 years. Anytime that she's going to put out another, especially an action assassin movie, that's right up my alley. So Kate, and that's on September 10th.
And where is that on? Do you know?
Netflix. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Netflix. Okay, cool. My staff pick is called Chapelweight. I don't know if any of you have seen this trailer.
Oh, yeah, you beat me to that one. That was going to be mine.
I posted a link to it. It's a like a retelling of Stephen King's Jerusalem's Lot, but it seems like it's set maybe in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Salem's Lot or Jerusalem's Lot?
What Jerusalem's Lot.
Yeah, it's based off the short story.
Oh, okay.
And Adrian Brody is the lead. And that is on Epix. It's going to be on Epix.
My staff pick is, you guys know me, and I don't care. I'm unashamedly a Hugh Jackman fan, so I'll watch pretty much anything that he's in. I'm going to watch the debut feature from Westworld co-creator Lisa Joy. It is called Reminiscence, and the trailer to me looks really good. It's starring Hugh Jackman as a scientist who helps clients relive any memory they choose. So it's brain stuff. It has Thandi Newton, Rebecca Ferguson in it, and that comes out on HBO Max. It's also going to be in theaters, but that comes out, and I didn't write down the date, but it comes out in late August.
The trailer looked really good, the previews that I've seen for it.
This is, by the way, one of my favorite Battlestar Galactica autographs. Tim, go frack yourself, and that is Aaron and
Chief,
and I also have Kate Vernon, so I got a lot of work to do if I want to get all of them. I want to be the night. I'm a dork. I don't care. And Kate Vernon, when she was there last time, she had pictures she had found that her father had signed. And if you don't know who her father was, he was the dean from Animal House, John Vernon.
John Vernon.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
Let's not forget he was Iron Man in the 1964-66 Ralph Bakshi cartoons.
The ones where they just moved the Dr. Banner.
Yes.
Oh, wait,
that's it.
Dark. Dr. D, he's the coolest cat with the hottest wheels. Yeah, we watched that in the 70s on WPIX. They showed that in the afternoons. So you got all of them. And, you know.
I love them. They were my favorites. They corrupted me, and I read so many comics that by the end of the 70s, I wasn't allowed to bring a comic into the house.
My grandparents called them funny books. Why you got to have so many funny books? I go, they're not funny. They're serious comic books. Tony Stark's an alcoholic, Grandma. He had to give up being Iron Man, and Obadiah Stane stole his stuff, and he was on the streets, and then Rhodey became Iron Man. They didn't care. But that's what happened. So guys, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been great. Dragon Con 2021 is going to be kick-ass. Go to the website, find out all about it, and buy a membership if you have the availability.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great Dragon Con and be safe.
All right, everybody, have a great Dragon Con, and we will talk to you again very soon. Until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
Try again.